search, all the brahmanas came back. The only person who did not return was the head priest, young brahman called Vidyapati. So Vidyapati, while searching for the deity of the Lord, he became very tired and he ended up in a village of the Sabaras. Sabaras are the outcasts. Outcast means those who are beyond or below the Varnashram custom, Varnashram system. They are known as Antajas, born outside of Varnashram system. So there are various types of people, those who are outside of Varnashram, and they are kind of considered to be uncivilized. Their occupations are generally not very dignified. Like Shavaras, they generally reside by the forest, and their main occupation is hunting and collecting things from the forest. And so the Shavaras, he came, generally a Brahmana would not go to a house of a Shavara. But Vidyapati, becoming very, very tired and hungry, just approached this Shavara village, and he knocked at the door of a house, and a girl came out, and she mentioned that that was the house of her father, who was the leader, the king of the Shavaras. His name was Vishwavasu, and he is not at home, but seeing a Brahmana at the door, she invited him to come, and she offered him place to rest and food to eat. And then when the Savara king Vishwavasu came back, he saw a Brahmana has become his guest, so it was a great good fortune for a Shavara. So he requested him to keep on, to stay for some time, because he could see that he was very, very tired. So, and Vidyapati also, being extremely tired, he decided to stay, decided to accept Vishwavasu's invitation. And while he was staying there, Vishwavasu developed some attachment to this young brahmana, and he requested him to marry his daughter. So Vidyapati accepted that proposal, and he got married to Lalita. And then Vidyapati used to notice that at night Vishwavasu used to go out and he used to come back in the morning. And so he wondered, where does he go at night? So he asked Lalita, "Where does your father go at night?" And so Lalita then told that my father actually goes to worship Nilamantha. Vidyapati practically jumped with joy getting the news, but he did not display his excitement. So, and he requested Lalita, "Can you please ask your father to take me to see Nilamantha?" So Lalita then requested her father. Vishwavasu became very, very upset when he found out that Lalita told Vidyapati about Nilamata. Because according to the Vedic custom, a non-Brahmana cannot worship the deities. That is the scriptural injunction. So what to speak of a non-Brahmana? He is a Shavara, he is an Antaja, he is an outcast. He is considered to be so fallen, so degraded in the society, that if anyone even touched a Savara, you go and take a bath. Sometimes the strict Brahmanas, if they touched a Savara's shadow, you go and take a bath. So and now this Savara is worshipping the Lord, like it could be a punishable act actually. And so that's why Vishwavasu was very secretive about is worshipping Nilamadri. Now this also indicates another thing which I'll explain later on, that this Jagannath in this way is actually in pointing out, or from this anecdote we are actually seeing that Jagannath deity, worship of Jagannath deity is not in the Vaiti Bhakti, but it is in the Raghavendra Bhakti platform. Vaiti Bhakti means following the rules and regulations. Now there is no consideration of rules and regulations, just love. Raghavendra Bhakti is the spontaneous loving relationship to the Lord, and rendering devotional service to the Lord out of spontaneous love. Let us see, like we may try to explain that at the end of this class. So Vidyapati then Lalita told her father that, look, he is my husband, how can I hide anything from him? So then Vishwavasu agreed that, okay, I will take him, but on one condition, that I'll take him with a blindfold. And when Lalita told Vidyapati, Vidyapati agreed, said, fine, I will go blindfold. And before leaving, Vidyapati asked, can you give me some mustard seeds? And so he took the mustard seeds and tied them up on a piece of cloth. And while Vishwavasu was taking him, leading him blindfold through the forest, Vidyapati kept on scattering those mustard seeds on the way. So then eventually they arrived there, and Vidyapati's eyes were open. Vishwavasu opened the blindfold, and then he saw the beautiful deity of the Lord at Nilamadhava, the blue Madhava, blue form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he then was just spellbound. He was looking at the deity, and Vishwavasu then told him that, look, now I'll go collect the ingredients for the worship, fruits and flowers from the forest. So you wait till I come back. So while Vidyapati was sitting there waiting for Vishwavasu to come back, he saw that in that nearby pond a crow just died and fell on the pond. And as the crow's body touched the water of the pond, the crow developed its forearm spiritual form and went back to Vaikuntha. So seeing that, Vidyapati saw the potency of this place, that just by dying in this place, in touch, in contact with that water of the pond, even a crow develops its spiritual form. So he decided to give up his body, plunging himself into the water. But when he was about to do that, he heard a voice saying that, Vidyapati, this is not the time for you to give up your body. King Indradumna is waiting for you to carry the message of Nilamadhava. So he decided not to give up his body. In the meantime, Vishwavasu came back, and as he started to worship, Vishwavasu heard the voice of Nilamadhava saying, Vishwavasu, for so many years I have taken your service. Now I will take the service of King Indradumna. Actually, at that time, the Parartha, the half a day of Brahma was just completed. So that's why Nilamadhava now became Jagannath, or going to become Jagannath. So he didn't, of course, Nilamadhava didn't explain all that, but he simply told Vishwavasu that now he will take the service of King Indradumna. So hearing that, Vishwavasu became very, very upset. He was so attached to the Lord that he became very upset. And he thought that Vidyapati must have convinced Nilamadhava. This Brahmana must have convinced him not to take my worship and take the worship of the king. So he immediately attacked Vidyapati, telling him that I would have killed you, but because you are my son-in-law, I will spare your life, but I will tie you up to a tree and let the animals come and eat you up. And so at that time, so he tied him up in a tree. And he went, when he went home, Lalita was surprised to see that he came back alone. So she asked, what happened to my husband? So Vidyapati and Vishwavasu then narrated all the incidents. So Lalita ran to the forest, calling out to her husband, and then finally she found him. She released him from his bondage. And when Vidyapati went to Avanti and reported to the king, King Indradumna, upon receiving that news of Nilamadra, he just came to that place with his army and entourage. In the meantime, those mustard seeds that Vidyapati scattered while he was going to the temple of Nilamandra sprouted into the mustard plants. So seeing those plants, he could actually track the way to the temple. But unfortunately, when they went to the temple, when they arrived in the temple, they found that the deity was missing. So King Indradumna thought that, you know, it must be the Savara king, Vishwavasu, who is hiding Nilamata. So he interrogated, he tortured, he seized the Savara village, conflicted various kinds of punishments upon them, but still they would not. Vishwavasu was silent. Vishwavasu, when he was asked, where is Nilamata? Vishwavasu didn't say anything. So then finally one night, Indradumna had a vision, a dream. And the Lord appeared to him and told him, why are you unnecessarily torturing the Savaras? I disappeared myself, they are not hiding. And you won't be able to see me in this form. But I have already appeared in the ocean in the form of a transcendental log. So you take that log and you carve my deities, and that will be my transcendental form, and you can worship that form. So Indradumna immediately jumped out of his bed and ran to the ocean, and he found, true to the statement, there was a log. And he tried to pull the log out of the water, he could not. Then he got his entire army, his entire force, all the animals, horses, to pull the log out, but still they could not. And then again he got the instruction in a dream that let Vidyapati and Vishwavasu hold two ends of that log, and that is how they will be able to pick it up. So Indradumna went and requested them, and true to that, like they could very easily, the thing that thousands of elephants and horses and men could not pick up, these two persons, Vidyapati and Vishwavasu, very easily lifted that log and brought it to the land. Then King Indradumna had now the responsibility to get the carver to carve the deity. And there were many carvers came, but surprisingly, as soon as they would try to work on the log, as soon as they would touch the log with their instruments, chisel and hammer, their instruments would immediately broken to pieces. Nobody could even make a scratch on that wood. Then finally one old man arrived there, introduced himself to the king as Ananta Maharana. And he said, I am a carver and I have come here to carve the deity of the Lord from this wood. Vishwavasu was surprised that such an old man, all these expert carvers could not even make a scratch on this log, what this old man will do who can barely stand and walk. So, but he said, okay, fine, if you want to give it a try, you can give it a try. And but Ananda Maharana said that, look, there is a condition that I will work behind a closed door, and until the work is finished, no one should enter into the room. If anybody enters into the room, then I will immediately leave the place. The king said, fine. And Ananda Maharana started to work behind the closed door. And then from outside, the king could hear the sound of work going on. And he was very satisfied that finally someone was able to carve the deity. And then after some time, one day the king, that sound stopped. The king couldn't hear the sound anymore. So he became very worried, very surprised and worried and concerned. So he, out of great anxiety, he just opened the door. And he found that three incomplete forms are standing there. And that carver, Ananta Maharana, is not there. So then the king thought that, well, I committed such a grievous crime. I broke the promise. I promised that I won't enter into the room until the work stopped, until the work was complete. And it is because of me that the Lord's form did not become manifest. So he decided to give up his body, fasting. So in this way, king just sat down and stopped eating and drinking. 3 days went by. Then on the third night, the king heard the voice of the Lord. And King Indradumna, don't think that this is my incomplete form. This is my transcendental form, eternal form. This is my Satchidananda Vigraha form. In this form, I am present in Vaikuntha, eternally. So, just install me in this form and worship. So this is how Lord Jagannath actually appeared. The understanding is that Nilamadhav stays until the first Padartha, first half of Brahma's day. And in the second half of Brahma's day, he appears as Lord Jagannath. And so it was at that time that Padartha actually takes place during Sayambhuva Manas. And so that is this Manvantara that it happened. And so this is how Lord Jagannath appeared. And then a Maha Abhishek was performed. Like 130 pots of water was brought to bathe Lord Jagannath. In some other places it says that 108 pots, Jagannath is bathed with 108 gold, water in 108 golden pots. So that is the Snan Yatra ceremony. Generally in Jagannath Puri, this celebration takes place in the temple. Jagannath comes out in a Ratnavedi, in a jewel-studded platform, and he is placed outside the temple. He comes out and he is placed on this Jagannath in that Ratnavedi, and the Abhishek takes place there. And at that time Jagannath gives darshan to everybody. One doesn't need to go inside the temple, from outside also. And this altar is so high that even from outside the temple people can see Jagannath's Abhishek ceremony. And this ceremony actually takes place on this Jyeshtha Purnima, the Agrahayan month, Kartik, then Agrahayan. Agrahayan month, or Jyeshtha, in Sanskrit it's called Agrahayan. And it is the month of, I'm sorry, not Kartik, I'm sorry, not Agrahayan. Jyeshtha month, second month. The first month is Vaishak. Vaishak and Jyeshtha are the summer months, 2 months of summer. So in the month of Jyeshtha, in the Purnima Tithi, full moon day, this is the end of Jyeshtha month. On the full moon day, this ceremony actually takes place. And then for 15 days, Jagannath actually goes to Anavarshal. And the saying is that Jagannath, after being bathed in water, so much water that he catches cold, so then Jagannath goes into a sick room. And there he doesn't accept worship, he doesn't accept any offerings of food. All he eats, all he takes is pachan. Pachan means broth, medicinal broth, light soup, and fruits and fruit juice. That is for 15 days. And then after that he comes out for giving darshan. And then he goes out on Ratha Jatra festival. So this is how this ceremony actually takes place. It's a very beautiful ceremony. And in Jagannath Puri, thousands and thousands of people go there. Millions of people come during the chariot festival to pull the chariot of Lord Jagannath. Now, as I was saying, Jagannath is very special. We are, in that respect, we can consider that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Raganuga Bhakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, went to Jagannath Puri, took shelter of Lord Jagannath. Because Lord Jagannath is the deity of who accepts Raganuga Bhakti, the deity of Raganuga Bhakti. Because Raganuga, there are two types of bhakti, Bidhi Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. In simple words, Bidhi Bhakti is the devotional service following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. And Raganuga Bhakti is the devotional service out of spontaneous love. Like the Supreme Personality of Godhead is more attractive to love than the scriptural injunctions. So here we see that Lord Jagannath or Nila Madhav was accepting the worship of the sovereign and outcast. Whereas the scripture says that only the brahmanas can worship the Lord. A non-brahmana cannot worship the Lord. But here a sovereign is worshipping the Lord. And then after Jagannath appeared, his worship was conducted by Vidyapati's side and Vishwabhushu side. The Brahmana side and Shavara side. The Shavara side, Shavara line is called Doitas. Doita literally means lover. So here, Krishna is concerned only about the love of his devotees. And Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute that love, loving devotional service, prema bhakti. And that's why Jagannath is so special to the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself took shelter of Lord Jagannath. Then also we see that when Prabhupada went to the west, the first deity that appeared was Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath appeared. And that also appeared, Lord Jagannath appeared in a miraculous way. Some devotees, they went to some curio shop and they found some Indian figurines, and strange looking figurines. And so they thought that, okay, let's give it to Swamiji. So they got one and brought to Srila Prabhupada. And as soon as Prabhupada saw that, Prabhupada offered full obeisance. Everyone was surprised. And then Prabhupada asked, are there other forms also like that? They said, yes, there were two others. So Prabhupada said, go and get them. So they went and got Baladeva and Subhadra. So this is how Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra appeared to ISKCON. We can see how Lord, through His causeless mercy, is making all these arrangements Himself. And then Prabhupada told Shamsundar Prabhu, who was an expert carver also, Prabhupada asked him, can you carve this deity in a bigger form? And so Shamsundar Prabhu carved the first deities, Jagannath, Baladeva, Subhadra. And those three deities were installed in San Francisco temple. So, temple means a storefront, small little place. But those deities were installed there. And that is how Jagannath appeared in ISKCON. And then Prabhupada started that Ratha Yatra festival in San Francisco. And then gradually Los Angeles, New York, Boston, Chicago, Denver. And today, I think Ratha Yatra festival is conducted in more than 300 cities in the world. So this is how Lord Jagannath has appeared in this world, in the world of ISKCON actually. But the thing is, like, at the same time, another consideration is that although Mahaprabhu came to give Vaidhi Bhakti, to Raganuga Bhakti, but the point is that Krishna must be worshipped following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, Vaidhi Bhakti. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vithin Vina Vaikantike Hare Bhakti Rupatri Vakalpati. Even if the devotion is very earnest, but if it is not following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, it will simply create a disturbance. So that is the injunction of the scriptures. So point is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be worshipped following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Therefore, Prabhupada taught us how to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. We must worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. We must worship Jagannath following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. But that worship will lead to Raganuga Bhakti. You served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as a devotee following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, and that devotion will turn into Raganuga Bhakti. And Raganuga Bhakti will enable us to go to Vrindavan. So here we also be very careful. We should not just jump into Raganuga Bhakti. Our way is to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following Vaidhi Bhakti will automatically lead to Raganuga Bhakti in its own course. How? Because when we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following Vaidhi Bhakti, eventually we will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha Krishna. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna. So when we see Radha Krishna, then automatically we are embarking into Vrindavan mood of worship. So that is the significance of Snan Jatra, that's the significance of Lord Jagannath's worship, and that is how wonderfully Lord Jagannath appeared
in ISKCON.
So we are very fortunate that we have been somehow rewarded with this wonderful benediction, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And very mercifully Srila Prabhupada gave me sannyas also on this day in Vrindavan. I told that also, like in Vrindavan I was serving Srila Prabhupada, and you know in Vrindavan it gets very hot, and serving Srila Prabhupada meant practically the whole day being engaged. And so I decided to observe Nirjala Ekadasi, because Nirjala Ekadasi was just 3 days before that. So I observed Nirjala Ekadasi. It was tough. It was the first time I ever observed Nirjala Ekadasi, and that also in Vrindavan in the middle of summer. And the day after that, I got the news that Prabhupada decided to give a sannyas. In a way, I feel that it was my observing Nirjala Ekadasi that gave me the good fortune of receiving this benediction from Srila Prabhupada. And that was in 1977, and it was about 36 years ago. So in that way, today is the 36th anniversary of my sannyas. It was very nice. So thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Gaur. Does anybody have any question? Okay, thank you. Whose question was that? Anand. Hare Krishna, all glories to Shiva.